Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's the time? It's failing better time. Also, whatever time it currently is when you're listening to this podcast. I am Johnny. I am with my good friend and co-host, Sean.
And also... Hey.
Oh, you fucked it there, Sean.
I fucked it? What the hell are you talking about, whatever time it is in your area?
I was going to say what time it is now, but that isn't what time they're going to be listening to the podcast. So, you know what, look at your watch now if you listen to this, and that's what time it is in your area.
I think if you're listening to Failing Better, it's Failing Better time.
I like that. I like that a lot.
So there you go. Now, look, enough of this shit. We have a guest, don't we, Johnny?
We do. And it's our favourite person in the world, Stuart Laws.
Hello, how are you? Thank you. This is a perfect start to your podcast.
Do you think it's gone well so far, Stuart?
I'm a fan. I listen to it, but I have also texted you, probably both, or commented on an Instagram post about it being the worst episode yet.
Why do you listen? I genuinely am curious. Because you've sent me a few messages about specific things of certain episodes, and I've forgotten the references. I go, what's Stu on about?
Stuart's doing one of his little wacky turns again.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of both yourself, Sean, and yourself, McLaughlin.
I've been lampooned again. That's it. Get off. You're deleted from the podcast.
This is already a classic app in my eyes. Already.
I like hearing you two absolutely flounder around in what I would say is a format that is not suited to either of you.
What do you think is our format? I'll be curious to know what you think our format is.
I have the exact same question. Maybe interviewing. Maybe this can be the podcast where we learn that interviewing is our format.
We'll find out. I would say it's something that's highly edited, really cut down to time.
Oh. Well, actually, it's quite edited. I mean, I'm the edit king, aren't I, Sean? I'm Mr.
I do use. I do genuinely edit the episodes.
Yeah, but
so it upsets me that you think it requires more editing, because that's the sort of...
Honestly, Sean, online. You make about 1 minute's editing and then you act like you're some sort of massive martyr, but really as pathetic as me, and you know it.
Well, yeah, of course. I need to freaking get in there. Basically, every episode, Johnny will say something like, 9/11 was an inside job, we all know it.
That's one of our catchphrases, Sean. That's literally a catchphrase of the market. If you try to delete every time I said 9/11 was inside job, you're an even worse editor than I could have possibly imagined.
I like the fact that Johnny sets an alarm that goes off at 25 minutes, and then I always have a little look at how far into the podcast we are, and we're about 24 and a half minutes, 25 minutes every time. You're not Thelma Shoemaker. You're not editing like a massive masterpiece down to size.
Thank you, Stu. Yeah, Sean, I'm glad Sean's editing has come under the microscope here, because he's always slagging off me. But actually, he's a worm too.
Johnny, I'm coming hard on this, haven't I? It's a
Johnny,
real crash landing.
No, don't worry about it. Johnny, have you set your timer yet?
I haven't, no, but I looked and it's 9:15 now, and so we'll finish around 9:45. Bit of maths there. Maybe maths is what I should be doing, a mathematician.
I just think if we were to pivot this into a maths podcast, I think we would hemorrhage listeners at an even faster rate than we currently are.
Because you've already done the first pivot. The first, like, 10 episodes of this were extremely structured. and were clearly about something. And then it turned into, we're going to do it shorter and about nothing.
We've pivoted from a podcast with a theme and a structure and guests, like now, to basically what podcasts were 10 years ago, which is two mediocre white comedians chatting about anything and hoping that, that someone will
listen. It's a pleasure to be a third.
It is an honour. You're more than mediocre, Stu. I'd go so far as to say you're above average. You've got a new special out, and it's really, really funny. It's so funny.
Well, thank you very much. My PR team put together a pack of all the podcasts I should go on.
I presume this is on the list.
Then I edited the PDF to add this one.
Hey! And it's difficult edit. It's difficult to edit a PDF, so thank you for that.
Did your did your PR genuinely put a list of podcasts that we weren't on there?
No, you were on there. It was basically a list of like comics that I like and are friends with, and we thought, oh, you could easily get on that.
What other podcasts are on there? And then we can slag each one of them off.
Thank fuck for that.
I don't even know what that is. What is thank fuck for that? Is it good? It's probably good, isn't it?
It's Sarah Keyworth and Mickey Overman's podcast. It's brilliant. I was the guest on the very first episode, and since then it has gone from strength to strength.
Maybe that's what this podcast needs. Less Sean, more Sarah Keyworth.
Yeah. Honestly, if you could get Sarah Keyworth to replace me, that would really boost this pod.
And Stu, do you want to do my job? Because that feels like a really good... Sarah Keyworth and you feels like you could take Failing Better to where it needs to be. Because that's what... You can edit this as much as you want to edit it, but it's fundamentally a dreadful idea and concept.
I know... Shut the fuck up, Johnny. I know... I actually do think that would be really good. If it was you and Sarah doing a podcast, you two are lovely, you're funny, you're personable... I mean, obviously, it'd still be Failing Better with... I mean, we'd get all the money. We'd get the Patreon money. It's our project.
Yeah.
But because we're sort of like the directors of podcasts, you know, we're the podcast...
Interesting.
The sporting director-esque figure. So we're hiring the presenters.
We're like Nike. We're outsourcing our manufacturing base to China, to cheaper, to where you can get labour cheaper. But
so
we are
you
still...
think me and Sarah Keyworth are cheaper than you two?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I get a million, every app is £1 million for me. For me to do any gig, I ask for a limousine, all the jelly I can eat, and to be home by 10 p.m. Those are my riders, and if I'm not getting that, I'm not going.
I don't want to burst this bubble, and potentially this is an edit point. But remember when I was making a TV stand-up show, and we wanted you in it.
I don't want facts. I don't want reality here, Stu.
I want to hear the end of this anecdote, if that's okay.
And you agreed to it, and you were like, yep, I'll do that. It was very nice. It was at the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival. And then I heard that you were in discussion with someone about the contract, and you said, I think you've put an extra zero on the end of it. And they said, no, that's the correct fee. And you did a little dance in the street.
No, because that was
£10.
No, that was just, do you know Sam Roberts? He listens to this podcast. He's a fucking wanker. I said to him, the fee's really good for this. Is this about money? And he said, John, it's not that. It won't be that. So then he put it in my head that there was an extra. Anyway, it was a very stressful occasion. But do not worry. I did get my £20. Woohoo! And I spent it all on chips. I love chips.
Well, we're not plugging that shit. We're plugging your special, aren't we,
yes.
Stu?
Yeah.
All In.
Yes.
All In. Great show. Great. Love how it's filmed.
Thanks very much.
All tight close-ups.
Thank you. That was a definite decision. I had to pay for a focus puller for that, even though it was a tiny venue, because I knew I wanted this sort of like basically neck up shot of myself for about 70% of the show.
Yeah.
Because I do a lot of face work, which is why I'm so bad on podcasts.
No, you're not. You're being really good on this one. But I have to say, if you wanted a focus puller, you should have called me in, because I will pull that focus away from you any day of the week.
What's that homeless man doing over that bit?
What's that? He's crying a lot.
Why are there so many chicken bones coming out of his pockets?
All good questions. So have you enjoyed getting it out there? Is it going as you hoped it would, the release of your special?
It's getting more views than I expected.
I'm just laughing at what a shit question that was.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know what? Like, this is... I don't know what I expected sort of coming on here, but I looked away from the screen to start answering that, and I was about to answer it genuinely, and I just heard the two hosts of this podcast start smirking. And I thought, that's not a good sign.
You're such a bad question. I don't even really know what the question is. Have you enjoyed? So lots of people listen to it. That's good, I guess. Watched it.
Listened, watched. Yeah, and a lot of nice comments, and a bunch of people who probably haven't seen me do stand-up before have watched it. That is a nice feeling. It's on £800 Gorilla, who are an American comedy label. They're fantastic. They've got loads of amazing American comedy specials, but they're doing more and more here in the UK as well.
They've got Sean as well, market. So, you know, that's quite a low
bar.
Sean's
got a special with them, really.
I've got two albums released by them, one special and one coming up soon, that was directed by none other... The Mr. Stuart Laws.
Yeah. That's and it's a great special.
Yeah, it's
I think
good
it's direct
special.
It's directed really well. I think the directing's the best thing about it. I've always
it's
said that.
It's got a real good live feel to it, yeah. It feels real and in the room.
I'm excited for it to come out.
Is that the one you had your anxiety attack in Bristol about because they started heckling you, Sean?
Yeah.
I'll watch that for sure. Just you crying.
No, I didn't cry. I didn't cry.
I think that's a low bar, though, isn't it, Sean? Is when you're...
How did the special go? Well, I didn't cry on stage. So there we are.
Am I coming back on when that comes out? Just to talk about the craft?
Are you still going to record Johnny's one as well?
Yeah. We're going to do
when
it.
When that happens.
Yeah. It's going to be... Already people are calling it the greatest special never made. And one day they're going to call it... A pretty good special, actually.
So I'll come back on for when Sean McLaughlin Let It Be comes out, and then come back on for Johnny Pelham
2029.
I just like it to be known that my special is not called Let It Be, but when I went into Stuart's office for the edit, everyone kept calling it Let It Be, and I didn't know if they were joking or not.
Were you joking?
Yeah, we were joking.
It's funny.
Called So Be It, but we kept changing the title card to say Let It Be, and every time we put it back to So Be It and Sean looked away, it got changed back to Let It Be.
I imagine that'd really fuck with Sean's head. That's good stuff, Stu. Well done. You can become a regular guest on this podcast.
Fantastic.
Just keep being mean to Sean.
Johnny, I'm sorry to take things in a very different direction. Are you drinking a Dunkin' Donuts coffee?
No, it's a coffee from a little Italian place called Roma.
Oh, right. There you go. Had this. All I could see was the lettering, and I didn't know.
No, that'd be it'd be mad.
Stuart, you just throw up.
What got you into directing, Stu? Can I ask a serious?
Come on,
that's great. It's like Parkinson. I'm like Parkinson. What do you want to talk about, Sean?
Who cares?
Why you're such a scum rat and this podcast can never work? We can't just talk about this podcast. We've got a guest now.
Yeah, we can't have a guest on to talk about how fucking awful this podcast
is. That's actually true, though, Stu. What do you think?
Other podcasts have you done in promotion for this? That's a good question.
Okay, I've done Nobody Panic with Tessa and Stevie.
And how was that compared to this?
Shit.
That was genuinely, those two are fantastic. We were in a proper recording studio. They asked really good questions. They paused whilst I was talking and then engaged with what I was saying rather than immediately blasting in over the top with smirks.
Really, it doesn't sound like my type of thing at all, but good luck to them. They're nice guys.
I did Spit or Swallow with Lou Conran and Sally Ann Hayward.
Yeah.
Both, very, very professional. And
there's a lot of podcasts, aren't there? Maybe we should leave this game and get into something else. Pigeon racing or something. There's too many podcasts.
Pigeon racing? What's your immediate go-to? You've just started doing pigeon racing and you're trying to bring it up softly.
Yeah. It sounds like you've already put too much capital into it to pull out. And you're just trying to subtly get... Well, have you heard about this pigeon racing?
Sophie's away for the week. I've taken up army. She's going to be fuming when she gets back.
I don't even know what the first step would be if we were to start pigeon racing.
Definitely
I
catching
can't see
pigeons.
How it would improve our...
First step, got me catching some pigeons.
Yeah, well, and what is this? You're racing them yourself, or pigeons are racing against pigeons?
We're starting our own syndicate.
Me racing a pigeon is like around the world.
Sprinting across a field. Angry every time you get to a wall. Fuck, the pigeon's got an advantage here.
Anyway, I'm 22 losses at the moment, but I do believe in myself. This feels like the most unhinged episode I've ever done. I think you should talk more, Sean. I'm driving us into a well.
I love that you've asked me two questions about the special so far, and then you've diverted away from them both times.
What are we doing?
Okay, I've got a genuine question for Stu here. I've got a genuine question. Where do you get off?
Normally at West Ryslip.
That is why he's king of podcasts. No, I was going to ask this because it's good to see you releasing a stand-up special, because you do a lot of directing, you do a lot of other stuff, you have your own production company, you just have loads of stuff, you're always doing other bits.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's been times where you've had to almost park your stand-up for a bit to focus on other things. And do you feel like, I mean, has that been a struggle at times? Maybe not struggle's not the right word, but like, has it been, oh, Johnny, I hate the way you look at me when I'm asking questions. But do you know what I mean? How do you find it a balance? And do you feel like you sacrifice elements of your career for other elements?
You're not going to let me answer this one, are you, Johnny? Okay, let's see how deep into the answer I get.
Johnny's covering his mouth with his hand.
Like he's just heard the most incredible surrealist routine anyone's ever done.
Like an 11-year-old who's like friend has farted in a history class.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just enjoying it. I think, answer the question. This is good. We're doing well, guys. When you ask the question, you answer the question, Stu. This is what podcasting is. We can do this together.
I do feel like sometimes I have had to sort of sacrifice gigging as much as I would want to sort of get. Oh, here we go. Done. It's out.
No. You have had to sacrifice gigging.
Which means it is sort of difficult to build that sort of like momentum, right? So I've had to sort of focus more on creating these sort of hours as regularly as I can, and that being the thing, rather than sort of going around getting that club set sorted and sort of being able to do every gig possible and getting in front of a lot of industry and things like that. So I feel like that side has been more difficult, but directing and working with a bunch of amazing comics also is very helpful in terms of, you go, okay, well, I'm seeing how they're doing that. I'm making sure I apply that to what I do, so that when I do those hours, I feel like they are good hours. I'm very happy with them.
Really good. And so, can I ask what you learned from me when working with me? What you took from that experience?
Well, the problem is, Sean, I am a genuine big fan of you as a stand-up.
Not allowed. No honesty here. No genuine.
I think we should let him speak.
Sean is a tall scarecrow having an existential crisis. That is.
You're so present in the room.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily present in the room, which I think is something so difficult to do. And so difficult for me. So many comedians want to do that and aren't quite capable of doing it. But then your actual jokes and routines are also absolutely fantastic. So, Sean, you're very, very good. Johnny, you've done that good show.
Thank you. And I'll be doing another one in August at the Pleasance Courtyard at some time in the future. I can't remember right now.
I find
that show was fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
And we need to film it.
I feel like the problem is, Stu, I don't know how to do this podcast if it's got a format like this where people are nice to each other.
Yes.
But I think that's probably because of, you know, some childhood issues or something. So how do you think I can get nicer
to
people?
I'm so sick of hearing about your fucking childhood issues.
It's
Stu,
absolutely ridiculous.
I'm commandeering this interview.
Yeah.
I found that really interesting, your answer. Was your ambition ever to be a professional full-time comedian, clubbing comedian? I mean, I suppose ambitions change as you move on in your career.
Mm. It's difficult because, the company, the production company, was already established when I started doing stand-up. And then it sort of, we ended up doing a lot of corporate work. We got some investment sort of around the time when I also wanted to start doing stand-up properly as well. And it was like, I've got to do that because it's the first time in running this company I'm actually getting a wage and there's actual money coming in, and that weird thing in your mid-20s of being like, I just sort of quite like to have some money now.
Big question, Stu, how do you get investment, and is that something you think Failing Better could get?
Very good question.
we did
some work. And are you willing to be an investor?
Yeah, I mean, I've already put it. Check your accounts right now.
Well, are you a Patreon?
No.
I thought you said you're a fan of the podcast.
The only Patreon I've ever joined was the Wise Harriet Crying Patreon.
Well, that's a direct
rival. Sunil Patel's
enemies of the podcast. Enemies of the pod.
No one had joined Sunil's team, so I joined Sunil's team. You could be Harriet's team or Sunil's team, and no one.
That's brutal. How many had joined Harriet's team?
Well, let's be honest, it's a Patreon, so probably about four.
That is. Let's not do team, Sean, because I feel like you're probably the popular one. And it would devastate me if you had more. Let's never do team. We're a unit, Sean. We're a terrible unit, but we can't split off into separate camps.
That is you could a get good that, question. That singer. You could get that singer to join your team, Johnny.
Bastille.
I've got a new routine about Bastille in my new stand-up. And let's put it this way. They don't come across well. Is that a bridge? Because I'm about to burn the fucker. So if we're going to get Bastille on, we should get it before August. Because, you know, I really lay into those.
But they came to your last show and they loved it, so they're probably going to come to this one.
That's the big bit of the routine, is apologising to them if they are in the room.
This has gone into must-see territory now, this new show from Johnny. That's a good question, though, about investment. How do you get investment?
Well, that one, it was a client of ours that basically we were a duo, and then there was a third person who also did some work for this client, and this client was like, well, what if you three formed a company and I paid for an edit suite and everything like that, and I just came to you permanently for post?
Maybe we were
like, we could do that. And then sort of locked in then to like the corporate world, which is why then a few years later, I was like, I really want to get into doing back to like what we started this company for, which was do creative stuff. And I feel like I know enough good comedians now. We could start doing comedy stuff and we can pivot into comedy, which is now like 85% of our turnover is comedy now and is good. But you know, actually how it is a stressful element where a lot of my job now is directing one-off or two-off live recordings of something that someone has worked on, a friend has worked on for like 2 years of their life and now has to film it, and it has to go well. Otherwise, they'll cry on stage.
on the stage.
No names, obviously, but has there been any disasters where you thought, like, either their fault or your fault or no one's fault, it's just not worked, and it's like, this has just gone badly wrong?
There's a really good show and by a really funny comedian. And
was it a comedian or a comedian? No names.
It's like a game of Guess Who. Did they have blonde hair or were they wearing glasses?
For a certain platform, and we were filming a bunch of these shows, and the show, just due to the nature of sort of sometimes doing these sort of shows in London and audience sizes and difficulty of sort of like filming two or three shows in a night, it did not work out well. And I'd seen that show and it was a great show. And I basically had to campaign for them to never release it. I was like, it can't go out. And like the actor was like, yeah, that was like, that's the worst it's ever gone. It was such a weird reaction. It didn't work in any way.
I hate it. I hate that.
And it's too stressful, that.
When it comes to business, Stu, I've read that you've got to know when to hold them and you've got to know when to fold them. Is this true?
Ah, is this a reference to my show, Stuart Laws is All In, centered around a trip to Vegas in 2009 by my good self?
It could be.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking such a good question. I guess the show is all about the binary choices that we make in our life and how they can change the direction of our lives. I center that show around this trip to Vegas and a time I had to make a decision whether to go all in or to fold against a good friend in a poker tournament. But is that what the show is actually about, or is it actually about deeper things, using that story to sort of explore deeper themes and all these issues that we go through in our lives?
I imagine it's about whether you fold or not, though, right? Really. I mean, that's really what it's about.
The thing with stand-up comedy is it's a very one-dimensional art form that's made by and for idiots.
Yeah. And then every now and then, someone from The Guardian, who's like got a degree in English literature, goes, the themes of this show were this, 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 this. And you go, were they? I thought I'd just talk about my dick for an hour.
The themes were, can I get through this without a drunk person throwing something at me? Yeah. That's the theme. That's always the theme.
For the Guardian reviewer, it's the theme was there was someone in this show that went to Cambridge or Oxford. I like that.
Someone in the audience laughed, therefore I don't think it's comedy.
Yeah. Working class comic, only went to Oxford for 2 years, is good at comedy. I don't know. Bit of satire there for people who are fans of satire.
I've never been to Vegas. I don't know how true all this stuff is, because you're quite a prankster. You're kind of a
tricksy
trickster.
Boy.
Yeah. Is this true? You went to Vegas and you play poker?
Yeah, so I guess this show is actually is me exploring a little bit more of the fact that I can be a bit tricksy on stage.
Because didn't you say you'd had a show in Edinburgh and got loads of people to give you good like tweets about it and reviews and it wasn't really on?
Yeah, stuff like that, basically.
That's great. I didn't know until like a week ago. That made me laugh so much. That's like the funniest thing in the world. So like, how did you do this? Tell me about this, because it made me laugh.
So this was Edinburgh Fringe last year. I did a show called Stuart Law's Putting Zoo. I got it listed. I got it listed on the British Comedy Guide. I paid for some posters for it. I asked a couple of, I created like a little fake booking link for it and things like that. And then proceeded just to tell everyone, yeah, I'm doing a show this year. Basically, I had been previewing a work in progressing a show called Putting Zoo. Never intended to sort of turn that into something. It was just like, come up with a name for it. So there was like a paper trail for it. And then over the course of the month, we'd just have to chat to people. And they'd be like, oh, you're doing a show, aren't you? How's it going? I was like, yeah, it's really good, actually. Really fantastic. Loving it. Like, the show's really come together. It was like a last minute thing. I'm just delighted to be here. And like, oh, what time is it on at? And I would just have to try and memorize roughly when everyone else's shows were on at. To be like, oh, it's at this time. And like, oh, we clash. Oh, that's a shame.
You did this to me and I believed you. But I think I thought you were only doing a week work in progress anyway or something.
But yeah, this is the problem, is that a few, like, Sunil Patel immediately was like, he's lying, and kept saying to people, he's lying, he's not doing it. And
how
I
did
like,
Sunil know?
Can you shut the fuck up?
Did Sunil know, or did he just rumble you?
He's got glasses.
He just was like, there's
smart.
No way. Yeah, there's no
I've
way.
I've got glasses too. Way. Not all people with glasses are smart. Hello.
And then.
Some of us are really cool and sexy.
Who's that aimed at?
Me.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So you probably need glasses. You probably can't see how cool and sexy I am without them.
Can I just say there's an ant on my pop shield?
Can I just say, I don't even know what a pop shield is.
I don't know what an ant is.
Now, the pièce de résistance was, there's an award up in Edinburgh called the Comedians' Choice Awards. That is, comedians get to vote on any show that's been officially listed on the British Comedy Guide as existing. I'd also had like a couple of people blog and, you know, post tweets and things like that about the show. I then just asked a bunch of people whether they could vote for me, knowing no one had seen the show, but relying on the cult of personality that I and this extremely dull
like
voice
Chairman
has.
Mao.
I then got shortlisted for best show at the Edinburgh Fringe for a show that never happened. I also
fantastic.
Put up extra shows. I was doing extra shows.
Well, it is all. It's almost like it's all bullshit.
Yeah, and that was partly genuine. I was like, you know what, I'm up here for the month anyway, because I was filming a documentary and working with a bunch of comics that year. I was like, I've got the month to just do this. This is a fun thing to do. Let's just see what happens. And then then I quickly realized, oh, what I've given myself here is the task of lying to my friends' faces for a month.
How many people do you think you lied to that month? Like, I guess just hundreds, probably.
Yeah.
And what
Harriet took it hardest. She hated it.
Really?
Yeah, because she almost rumbled me as well when she was like, what actual room are you in Monkey Barrel? Because I just said, oh, I'm in my usual venue. Just kept saying usual venue.
That's cool. Yeah. You're a very smart man. I'm starting to wonder if this is even are we even recording this podcast.
I really like stuff like that. I had a I definitely can't name any names involved in this, but I had a friend who, and you might know about this, Stu, who set up a fake review website for the Edinburgh Fringe once.
Yes.
As a way of almost ensnaring his PR. He would tweet out fake reviews of every show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. They were always four stars, to the point that the British Comedy Guide started listing them as an official reviewer. He'd never seen any of them. He would he just did a pun about, you know, the show or the title of the fake publication. But his thing was the PR keeps saying, oh, look, I've done loads of stuff for you, even though they hadn't. And one of the things was, he goes, if they said, look, I got you this review, I will not pay them.
And did they? Did they do that?
I don't know if they did. Yeah. I don't remember
when I got that four-star in, it was a wonderful week.
Well, it was like, it was, people were putting them on their posters. It was viewed as like a legitimate thing. Well,
I don't know anything about this. After this, let's talk, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, if it had been better publicised, it probably would have destroyed the framework of the entire festival.
Mm. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping to do.
The point, no one will ever trust you now that you're actually doing a show, Stu.
That is the problem. And I had to sort of, I've subsequently had to deal with that. And people being like, have you actually got a special out? Or is it like just a link to like Tony going to stand on an egg? If you've seen that video.
He does have a special out. It's very funny. Listen to it. Failing Better fans and new fans alike. On YouTube.com, right?
Yes, 800-pound gorillas, YouTube.com.
YouTube.com. Why do you keep being so sycophantic to 800-pound gorilla?
Because they're very nice, aren't they? Do you not like them, Sean?
Yeah, they're all right.
I think it's terrible...
I genuinely love working with them.
I think it's a terrible name, though. Don't you think it's a terrible name?
I don't think so.
Why are they giving the weight of the gorilla they are? I don't understand the idea.
Do you think it's fatphobic?
Well, I just don't understand why I don't give a shit that it's 800 pounds, the gorilla.
Well, that's a phrase, isn't it? An 800 pound gorilla.
Oh, I've never
it's
heard
viewed
that
as like It's viewed as like a big sort of behemoth.
A big gorilla.
Yeah, why are they, gorilla in the
it's
room.
Viewed as a large gorilla.
Why don't they call themselves the big gorillas? I would get my comedy special recorded by the big gorillas.
Are you more interested in it being metric? Like
the 365
kilogram gorilla.
Good maths, Stu. Well done.
Is that accurate?
Neither of
you
actually
said?
Checking. I don't know.
Is that accurate?
Check that. Someone type in 800.
What did you
pounds.
Say? 365.
I don't think it matters whether you're right or not. I just think if it's quick, I'm impressed by it.
800 pounds in kilograms.
That's what I'm looking at. 362.8. He was off by 3 kilos.
By 2.2 kilos.
Sorry, Stu.
All right, poor Dexter. Let's put your dick away, Stu. How about that?
Good at comedy, terrible at maths. And also, morally. Stu, everyone.
Has your experience on this podcast lived up to your expectations? Are you disappointed with how it's been?
No, this is exactly how I thought it would go.
If the answer isn't positive, then just don't say anything. Has this been your favourite podcast you've been on thus far?
Look, I haven't had a chance to talk about cum as much as I did on some of the other podcasts.
Because they're dirty little podcasts, not us. We're a clean Christian podcast.
Yeah, we're not interested in cum. We're interested in kingdom cum. And on that bombshell, and on that cum shot, we...
Straight to the eye of the world. That was all.
Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. It's been so much fun having you on, Stuart Laws. I think you're a great man.
A wonderful person, a wonderful comedian. We didn't even get a chance to talk about that time that we wrote an entire sketch show on a drive back from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, when I come on to talk about your show, to promote your show, that's when we'll do that.
I've got my release date. You'll be on in the next couple of months.
Fantastic.
Let's put it that way.
Oh, the ant's fallen off.
The ant's fallen. Where are you, Stu?
I'm at my flat. Somehow an ant's got in here. It probably wants my stroop waffles. That's an edit point, surely.
There's no way that isn't the clip from this episode. I mean, that implies it's going to be a clip, which there isn't. But if there was going to be a clip, that would be the clip.
Stuart, would you do our clips for us?
No.
Why no?
There's so much work.
Do you know how to do a clip?
Yeah.
You don't have to be embarrassed if you don't. Johnny doesn't.
I do. I've done one. And what a clip it was. It's the best clip.
All I want to say is good luck with your next episode. What's it going to be about?
I don't know. This one, probably.
The next one, the Patreon. Oh, shit, was this the Patreon? Have you hidden my PR behind a Patreon wall?
Yeah. This is the Patreon.
No, the Patreons would never get stuff this good. Anyway, do sign up, by the way, if you like the Patreon. Stuart says he's a fan of the podcast. He hasn't signed up, which I don't think... I mean, you can't really say you're a fan of it if you haven't signed up to the Patreon.
Okay, yet. I'll sign up. I'll sign up for a couple of months.
Couple of months? 2 years? Yeah,
that's my that's my payment for PR. Like, and but you have to review my special as part of that payment.
We're going to review it every episode. We're going to have watch 1 minute a week.
Do a deep dive into that minute.
Patreon.com/failingbetter. Sign up. We have loads of stuff on there. We give you a new episode every week and stand up and fun community. Fun community.
Fun for the whole family. All right. Well, we've been trying to end for about 18 minutes now, I think. About half this podcast is us trying to say goodbye and failing. But this time shall be goodbye.
Stuart Laws, All In on YouTube. Huge recommendation from us. Anything else you want to say to our listeners?
No, just keep on supporting recorded conversations.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks, Stu.
Bye. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.